One of the areas that I think we can talk about through this next presentation has to do with the aspect of prayer in the hospital setting, to pray or not to pray, and that really is the question. Again, I have, am I clicking the right thing? Okay, and I don't have any other relationships to disclose since the last time I was up here. And then, as I said before, this is a brief slide about Tannenbaum. We actually have four program areas. We work in workplaces, in conflict resolution, and in education as well as healthcare. But we wanted to talk specifically about what to do in the instance when prayer comes up as an issue for patients, and what are some better practices around that. And I'll say quickly that we generally don't talk about best practice, because what's best practice for one setting could be poison for another. But better practices are those things which you can try, see if it works with your institution, and then keep moving from there. So scenario, a Catholic family has asked their doctor to pray with them while their newborn baby is being treated for pneumonia. What should the doctor do? So some of the things that we recommend is to follow the patient's lead if you're comfortable doing so. Because one of the things that is in another slide is that we are in a relatively religious country compared to other parts of the world. 84% of United States people living in the United States identify themselves, self-identify, with some kind of religious practice. And that being the case, it is not unlikely that the provider will also have their own religious, spiritual, or non-religious beliefs. So we don't ask practitioners to just kind of shed themselves of a part of their identity, often a core part of anyone's identity when it comes to religion, but to actually follow the lead of the patient. It should not be instituted by, or instigated, I should say, by the provider. Abstain from the prayer itself, but remain in the room. So if you are not comfortable praying, but you could stay in the room, you could just say, I'll stay in the room, but I'd rather not participate. Refer to pastoral care, because there, and this is very different, because there are a variety of ways that pastoral care looks depending on the healthcare institution. Every healthcare institution does not have representatives from every tradition or people who are knowledgeable across traditions, but you can certainly begin to partner with them in different ways. And then away from the moment, review hospital policy on the matter. Now, one of the things that this brings up is there a policy? And if not, we actually worked with a hospital in Brooklyn, and we did an environmental assessment with them. We did focus groups of everyone within the hospital, the caregiving community, from people who were working in security all the way to the chief medical officer. So we wanted to get a real cross-section of experiences. And one of the things that we found afterwards is that they actually developed a formal policy around prayer and how employees of the hospital should interact with patients if the issue of prayer comes up. And what that allows for is a normalizing of the experience. And that way, you actually do have a baseline for how to respond, as opposed to it only being driven by your personal feelings, because you are working within an institution. We definitely recommend not imposing your own beliefs on patients, or trying to dissuade the patient from prayer. And one instance that we know of was a woman who was going in for preoperative consult with her doctor. And both she and the doctor expected it was a minor surgical procedure, so they expected that there would be a good outcome. But the woman said, if something should go wrong, please call a priest, because I want last rites to be given. The doctor, really trying to reassure her, said to her, oh, you don't really believe that. Everything is going to be fine. The woman canceled her surgery and found another surgeon, because she wanted to be sure that if something did go wrong, that her wishes would be honored and acknowledged. Also, don't make an excuse and leave the room. You know, I got to put some money in the meter, or something along those lines. But really do, a lot of our work is really based around communication skills and what are the things to say. And we don't ask practitioners to actually lie, if you will, or deceive people, but to actually find the way to bridge that experience between their own religiosity and that of the patient. So a patient asks their nurse if she is religious, and how should she respond? We actually developed this question because we were doing a Grand Rounds presentation, and a resident asked the exact same thing. And the resident was actually concerned, the resident identified as agnostic, and was concerned that if she shared with her patients, who were in a very religious identified community, that she was agnostic, that it would cause some kind of barrier between her ability to provide care and communicate with them. One of the things that I made her aware of is that you pretending to evade their question creates the same barrier, because they want an answer. And so we talked about like how she could actually communicate with her patients. And I said, you can share with them what your beliefs are to the degree that you're comfortable, but you can also reassure them that at the point where they need some support in regards to their religious or spiritual concerns, that you will see to that, and that you don't have to be all things to all people. I think that kind of covers all of the things that we talk about and what you should do, but again, away from the moment, review any hospital policy that there is on this matter. It's the same kind of advice that we do in our workplace programming, because often there are policies in place, or at least this is now the impetus to consider drafting policy around this topic. One thing not to do is to sidestep the question or, again, impose your own personal beliefs on the patient. We've heard some really interesting things that medical practitioners, not just doctors, have actually said to patients trying to convince them that they should not be using their religious beliefs as a way to gauge the decisions that they're making. So proselytizing. As a definition of the word, I'd like to read this, that it is what occurs when one person attempts to convince another of the correctness of his or her religious beliefs. Okay, and there are all kinds of examples that we may individually have of what that looks like, and it is an experience that is seen in a variety of traditions in a variety of ways. But in the healthcare setting, we actually try to broaden that definition to include inappropriate religious expression, so that it's not just someone actually trying to convince you of something, but it looks a variety of different kinds of ways. So we have some examples here. When a practitioner says to a patient, would you like me to pray with you? That's proselytizing, because you're assuming that the patient actually is religious, or that at that particular point in their care that they would want to engage in prayer. Bless you. Something as simple as that. Now, what's interesting about expressions like bless you is that they have a secular background at this point, certainly within United States culture. But it's important to just pay attention to the fact that someone might be put off or made uncomfortable, and then there's just something to be responsible about, that they know that you are not trying to impose some kind of beliefs on them. Would you like me to call a chaplain? Really a great question, and it's even better if you've already done a spiritual assessment. Because what the spiritual assessment actually does is that it lets the patient and the family know that religion is not a taboo topic. It is something that can be discussed and can be part of the treatment plan, but it's not something that you have to dance around if you would like us to call someone on your behalf. I'll be praying for you. Again, an assumption made on behalf of the patient. And I'll tell you, there's one we did in some of the surveying that we were doing in the hospital, we found a phlebotomist who was in one of the focus groups who said that he could tell if people were religious, and particularly if they were Christian and religious. And he would go to those rooms of people and leave a Bible for them. And that was part of the circumstance that actually led the hospital to realize that they needed to create some kind of policy around prayer. Because it's not just, again, someone trying to convince you of something, it's a practitioner making an assumption and then taking actions on behalf of the hospital. Have you looked to God for strength and support? Again, kind of a loaded question for a practitioner to offer to a patient. And one of the things that we always talk about is making sure that we are clear about the power dynamic and the relationship between practitioners and patients. That often when people come into the hospital, because of other cultural identifiers, what the doctor or the nurse says pretty much is it. And they are not necessarily going to speak back to or assert themselves in particular ways. And, you know, if you've ever been in the hospital or had someone in the hospital, your greatest fear is that the practitioners will not take care of your loved one. And so you just kind of do things and walk on eggshells to make sure that you are not going to make someone angry and then in some way provide insufficient care to your loved one. So some things to do is to pay attention to communications, be mindful of the position of authority, and then to speak up if you see it being done by someone else. That it really is not okay, and certainly depending on the relationship, you may want to speak to the person directly, but if it is, if they are taking actions that in any way could be making it a difficult situation for the patient, or perhaps putting the healthcare institution at risk or in jeopardy, to speak with someone who can actually address that and make a difference with that. Again, not to impose your own beliefs or your lack of beliefs, and not to disregard your patient's religious beliefs or opinions. And then in terms of implementing a hospital policy on prayer and proselytizing, provides a set of guidelines so people know how to reference themselves in their interactions with patients, provides clarity for the staff, helps to avoid litigation. We know of, often you'll walk into a waiting room and you'll see like little pamphlets that have been left and things like that. Those can be taken away. There's a decided difference between seeing information and it being presented by someone who is a representative of the hospital or of the healthcare team. Those are decidedly different experiences. One that can be managed very easily, but one that's quite tender. And policies on prayer and proselytizing also protect patients, because then patients actually know that anything could happen, but they know that the hospital actually takes a stand on this particular issue.